Well, Ryan and the team at Black Oak Asset Management work primarily with baby boomers, but Generation X is right behind them heading to retirement. Then you have millennials, Gen Z, still a little ways out, but each of these generations have different planning challenges, different things they need to be thinking about, and different questions that they are asking in terms of retirement. We're going to tell you about those today, coming up.
Welcome to the Perfect Game Retirement Podcast with former professional baseball player and now financial coach at Black Oak Asset Management, Ryan Ledden. This show will help you make the right financial decisions so you can pitch a perfect game in retirement. Here's the windup and the delivery.
Welcome into Perfect Game Retirement. I've been George with Ryan Ledden, president and financial coach, also a certified financial planner at Black Oak Asset Management, serving the Atlanta area. And Ryan, I'm glad to talk to you today. I'm ready to go into these generations because I know baby boomers is the one you're working with a lot, but I know there's some argument about which generation you might fall into, right?
Yeah, the show notes I got for this, I'm like, I don't know about this because it depends on who's publicizing what years encompass baby boomers. Now, baby boomers, that's pretty much across the board. It's 1946 to 1964. I haven't seen too much differentiation on that. But on this show note sheet, it says Generation X, 1965 to 1976. Well, those of you who do not know, I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm born in 1977. So this sheet says I'm a millennial. Well, there's not a chance. Sorry, millennials out there, but I am not one. Most of I've seen is Generation X goes to about 1980 or so, maybe a couple years over. But so, yeah, baby boomers are a large portion of who we work with. I would say probably Generation X is the majority of what we work with, and maybe that's because of a natural market of me being in Generation X. And yes, I'm in Generation X, not millennial. But so yes, we do have a good bit of baby boomers and Generation X because there's a huge wealth transfer from that baby boomer generation to Generation X, and that's the one I'm in. So yeah, we'll go through each generation and kind of go through some topics and some questions that are really important for each generation because those can be the same or they can be very different.
Yes, we're going to go through those today. If you have questions, if you are thinking about beginning your planning for retirement or you are heading into retirement soon and want to start asking some of these questions, getting some answers to these, you can always call Ryan at 470-508-0508 or log online to blackoakam.com. Connect there, schedule a time to get on Ryan's calendar, and you'll be off and running. So let's just start with baby boomers since they are the group that's top of mind right now for you, Ryan, the ones that probably most commonly listen to the podcast as well as they're preparing for retirement. This, again, falls from 46 to 64. There's a lot of baby boomers retiring all the time. So with that either retirement transition happening now or maybe it's already happening, let's go with these three questions, I think. There's tons of questions, but let's narrow it down to these three. Start with the market volatility that's out there and how to manage risk. So what's the best approach as you get close? You see the market going up and down. You know you can't rely on those big fluctuations as you have to start pulling money out. How do you best manage the risk?
Yeah, I'm going to say a boring word that everybody kind of rolls their eyes about or two is diversification. And that's just not like the types of investments. You want diversification of income streams, but it is true. You have to diversify when you get to retirement because there's so many moving parts when it comes to the market or to your income or to Social Security or to your pension. You may have a pension. That's great. And a lot of baby boomers do, but some don't have the cost of living adjustment. Some do, some don't. And over time, and again, I've used my dad as an example. My dad is one of those pension employees, but he doesn't have a cost of living adjustment. So that money he was getting 15, 16 years ago when he first retired is not the same, especially the last 2 or 3 years, which is, without being said, that money just doesn't go as far. So managing risk, managing market volatility is always going to be a thing. And volatility works in positive ways too. So you just want to smooth out that volatility. When you're younger, you want market volatility. You don't care if there's spikes up and down because you are continually, hopefully, investing and dollar cost averaging, whether that's through your 401k or outside accounts. So market volatility, you can use that to your advantage, but there's a bunch of different investments, because if you do have a pension, great. If you have Social Security, great. And if you have two Social Security incomes, even better. But then you have to have a nest egg that maybe produces more income on top of that. So there's investments that work differently depending on what the market's doing. Obviously, we've talked about bonds before in here. Bonds are opposite of interest rates. Interest rates go up, bond prices go down. That's what happened in 2022. Interest rates have kind of settled a little bit, if you will. I know that's kind of a topic of discussion for the rest of the year. Maybe they start trickling down, maybe not. And then if that happens, then bond prices then shoot up. So you want those things working in conjunction with what's going on in the stock market. So you want consistency of return. So, you know, there's just so many different things to pull from. And I really do think that's when people need an advisor, is when they do get to retirement. Like, where am I pulling my income from a taxation standpoint? Again, diversification from taxes, as far as, do you have pre-tax, post-tax accounts, taxable accounts? So where does this all come from? You got Medicare, you got different plans there. So, man, there's a lot to go through, but managing that risk. I mean, I'll throw the word annuity out there. Some people think that's like a cuss word in the financial planning industry. And for some, it's not a fit. But for some, it absolutely could be a fit. If they just say, hey, I want this coming in every single month for the rest of my life and not to worry about it. Okay, that's a fit. If your guaranteed income doesn't cover your fixed expenses, that may be a solution. So that's just another kind of way to balance that market volatility risk.
Well, let's talk about that income then. You know, you mentioned annuity, some other, you know, aspects of income planning, but what's the best approach then for someone that's having to shift their mindset completely to, all right, I got steady income, but now I've got to start making withdrawals instead?
It's tough. I mean, that's where you have to have a plan, though. You can't just go into retirement and go, yeah, I need 80% of my income or 70% of my working income and then kind of figure it out from there. You need to know, will it last? Can you take that much income out? And again, where is it going to come from? Even if you may know, if you have a small pension and you know exactly what your Social Security benefit is going to be for you and your spouse or just you, sometimes just putting that and seeing that on paper or through a software planning program, it just kind of says, okay, yeah, I can do this. But when you see it all kind of scripted out, it does make a difference. But maybe it means delaying retirement for a year or two. But that income's got to come from somewhere, and you want to be cognizant of how much and where that income is coming from. Because if it sends you to a higher tax bracket, especially if you're teetering in between the 12 and the 22, that's a 10% difference. So if you can pull from different buckets that doesn't send you to that 22% tax bracket, that's a huge deal. And if you're in the 12% tax bracket, the cap gains rate is zero if you're in the 10 or 12. But if you all of a sudden go to the 22, then some of that's going to be taxed at a 15% rate. So again, it sometimes it's not about the rates of return and all that. If you can navigate the tax code, how they have laid out, and then again, pull from different accounts, because depending on how you pull this money out and how it's taxed depends on how much your Medicare premiums are, how much your Social Security is taxed. So, man, just having a plan and knowing where these income streams are going to come from is imperative before you get to retirement.
All right. The last question that baby boomers are asking right now too is what's the best way to pass on wealth without sacrificing my own retirement?
Yeah, this is important for a lot of people, but you obviously don't want to sacrifice too much of your retirement to leave a legacy. But sometimes when you do planning, and sometimes we ask people, hey, how much do you want to pass on? Some people go, well, if there's something left over, then great. Okay, that's an answer. That's fine. But some people have a specific goal, like, hey, I want to leave $500,000, you know, to each of my kids. And so that means $1 million left over, or maybe 250 per kid. You can build that in. You can say, okay, at the very end of my life, which again, we don't know when we're going to die. So we just like to, depending on, you know, family history and how healthy they are at the time, we ask them, when do you want me to show this out to? 93, 95, 97, 88, whatever it is. then we can say, hey, we're going to pass on $500,000 or $1 million at the end of our life. What does that look like? Is it possible? What kind of income sacrifices do I have to make? Sometimes that's people don't know how to do that. And without some of the tech and the software that we have, I probably wouldn't know how to factor that out when you factor out so many different components with inflation and rates of return. So the best way is to use a planning software that's going to come up with this answer for you and help you come up with this answer for you. So it goes back to number two. Our second question is, you got to have a plan for it.
Yep. Got to have a plan. So if you're a baby boomer, you probably have your own questions too that need to be answered. If you haven't gotten answers for those, Ryan and the team at Black Oak Asset Management can help you with that. Again, blackoakam.com. All right, shifting gears to Gen X, the one that you and I both at least identify with, if we don't truly fall into it, but approximately 65 to 76. So this stage, Ryan, people are becoming more aware. All right, retirement is approaching. It may not be imminent, but it's on my radar now. Time to start asking some questions, maybe start my planning process. So here are a few questions that Gen X should be asking. How much do I need to have saved to actually retire? I mean, a great first question to be asking, right?
Yeah, because a lot of times it kind of just hits you. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm 40 years old, or I'm 45, or mm-hmm. getting close to 50. Then it's kind of that smack in the face, like, okay, I'm kind of in my high income earning years. What do I have to do for the next 10, 15, 20 years? Same thing, having a plan. I mean, you can do some online calculators, which is totally fine. I don't love online calculators because a lot of the rates of return are in linear fashion. They don't factor in negative years. They don't know what inflation rates are going to be, what purchasing power is going to be. So, same thing, kind of going back to the baby boomers, having a plan, because it's so much easier if you have a plan with 20 years of a runway versus 5 years of a runway before you get to retirement. So putting that number, and of course, you know, we said it on the show before, 4% rule, whatever my nest egg is, I can take 4% out per year and it'll last and last and last. Maybe that's the case. Maybe not. There's a lot of people that say it's less than that. So you need to factor in all those income streams that you will have. I would encourage people to log into SSA.gov and create a profile so you have an idea of what your Social Security benefit is going to be, because they don't send out those statements anymore. Most people have no clue what their potential benefit will be. Even if you think it's going to be gone, log in and see what that benefit's going to be, because I guarantee you it'll be there in some fashion. It just may not be the full amount that they say, but you want to account for it. To not account for it is irresponsible. If you want to discount it when we do an income plan, sure, I'll discount it for down the road if you want to, but it needs to be aware and needs to be accounted of.
So knowing kind of what you need is good, but the other part of this is, you know, am I actually on track to get there, right? And there are tools online that can help you with that. But how do you know truly if you're on track for your retirement savings?
Yeah, because there's a ton of different, again, online. I've used a couple in my working past. There's some that give a success rate, like, 92% chance of success. Well, what do you think people do? Do they focus on the 92? They focus on what?
Yep, the 8.
The negative. Yep. Yeah. Well, what happens on the 8% of the time? So it was a difficult conversation to have. So I tried to equate it like, if you opened up your weather app and saw 92% chance of rain, is it going to rain? Yep. So that's kind of, I tried to equate it, but there's still that 8%. There's still the what if. So we use a different software now that gives percentages, but it gives guardrail percentages, like, hey, this amount of time you're going to be able to take what your goal is, but even there's this percentage chance of a time that you're going to have more income than that. But then it does have a flip side. Hey, in certain percentage of time, you may have to make some modifications and go down, but it never like brands it and says, you know, you can or cannot retire. It just says, hey, these are your guardrails. Here's your goal. Your guardrails are here and here. And is that okay? And then you can even compare like history, which I know history doesn't technically exactly repeat itself when it comes to recessions and market trends and all that, but you can go, okay, let's go back to the housing crisis. If you were to retire then, here's what your retirement would look like. Even the Great Depression, even the great inflation in the 1970s. So there's points in history. Well, this time's different. This time's different. Well, let's compare to every time in history since the late 1800s, and we can compare. So that gives people a lot more peace of mind to know if they're on track or if they're not. And then again, there's solutions. There's easy solutions to it. Save more, spend less, work longer. Which one do you want to do, or which combination of those three do you want to do?
All right. A couple more questions for Gen X. Retirement questions they are asking. How, you know, with so many expenses out there, Ryan, you know, you're kind of in the middle of your mortgage. You got your kids' education. How do you balance saving for retirement with these other goals, like paying off the mortgage, taking care of the education, all the things that come along with life in your 40s and 50s?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you got to come up with a spending plan, again, aka budget. I don't like saying that word, but you got to come up with that. You got to know where your dollars are going. As boring and as terrible as that sounds, you have to, because you're right. You have so many different things. And Generation X kind of considered the sandwich generation. So you may have parents who are living at home and you're having to help expenses on that. So it is very, very difficult. And then, like you said, kids' college is coming up and you're trying to save for retirement. So it's a lot. You have to prioritize that stuff. I tell people, don't put your retirement ahead of your kids' school, even though we feel as parents an obligation to help them out with school. Do not do that to your kids, because you'll be living with them one day, which Dave Ramsey jokes about a lot. Is you can't put their schooling ahead of your retirement, or you'll be living in their basement one day and you're trying to get your kids out of your basement, and then roles are going to be reversed one day potentially. Now, sometimes that's a need from a care standpoint, but don't do it because of dollars and cents when it comes to that. So you have to come up with a spending plan.
All right. What if I want to retire early? That's a question I think on the minds of a lot of people these days. And I know that more and more people have that goal, especially if you're Gen X. So what do you do if you want to retire early?
Yeah, retiring early, there's two main things. There's a bunch of different things, but two main things. What are you going to do for health insurance to bridge that gap to Medicare? And what types of accounts are you saving in? Because if you're only saving in qualified retirement accounts, you can't really access that money till 59 and a half. Now, if it's in a 401k, you can technically get to that money at 55, but there's some nuances there. But are you saving in types of accounts that you can access even earlier than that? If you want to retire to the age of 50, what does that look like? Well, you need to save in non-retirement type of accounts that you can get to that money to bridge that gap until you can get to that 59 and a half, where you can start taking money out of your qualified account. So it's got to be intentional. You got to have a plan for it. It's doable, very doable, but you got to have a plan. Again, reoccurring theme here, plan, but you need to.
Yeah, all these questions, part of the planning process when you go through it with blackoakam.com. So go through that and begin that process if you haven't already. One last question for Gen X. Paying off the mortgage, is it best to do that early or at least before retiring?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, yes. If you can't pay it off before you retire, hopefully it's not too far into it. Hopefully you're not having a mortgage for the rest of your life. But that should 100% be the goal, to have that sucker paid off before you get to retirement. That's just a big overhead cost that you just don't want to have to deal with, because your dollars go a whole lot further if you're not paying $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 a month that's going to a mortgage. Yeah, you got to pay your insurance and property taxes, but it's peanuts compared to what your mortgage would be.
All right, let's shift gears, go to the younger generations here, millennials, which we technically, well, I don't even, I'm not going to even technically fall into this. Approximately 77 to 95. I think millennials, kids in their 20s, maybe early 30s, right? But they're at various stages of their careers. Obviously, a lot of uncertainties out there right now, especially as it goes to relates to money and financial planning. So a few questions to address here. So first off, how can I balance saving for retirement with my other goals? Again, a little different from the Gen X, but more like I want to buy a home or I want to pay off student loans. So what am I supposed to do about saving for retirement when I have these other huge expenses kind of looming over me?
Yeah, I mean, especially with the student loan debacle that our country has right now and the interest rates that they're, young adults are being charged. I think you got to eliminate that first before you do any of the other two of retirement and buying a home. They're not going to go anywhere, despite what some people have told me. They're waiting to see what the government's going to do. Please don't wait to see what the government's going to do. These things are going to be a stranglehold on you for a long period of time. So pay off those student loan debts. Again, I've used my wife as an example on here before, but her student loans from vet school were at 1.87%. Those don't exist anymore. So yeah, they're going to be upwards of 6-7%. And that takes a big bite out of you. Especially if you got six-figure student loan debt. So pay that off first and then go to the try to save a down payment for a home and then go to retirement after that.
All right. What age should I start working with a financial advisor? I know this most people think, I should probably wait till I'm in my 50s or, you know, approaching retirement. But how early should you start?
You know, that just depends. I mean, we don't have, you know, an age requirement or an asset total requirement. So it just, you know, it really depends on if this stuff is – I usually encourage people to start out with not using a financial advisor, but some people are just like, I don't understand this stuff. I have no idea. I want and need help. Those are kind of the magic words when people say that. They want and need help. So it really just depends on people's, you know, understanding of it. A lot of people can just go online, and if they just want to get started, okay – you know, open a Roth and put it in a couple of index funds and that'll be fine. But maybe as it grows and grows and grows, you're like, okay, I want to make sure I'm doing this right. So it just depends. But I have clients who have kids that are in high school and I've opened accounts for them, which I think is awesome that they're starting this young and their parents are being diligent about it. So helping them get started, I will 100% help them in a heartbeat.
All right. Another good question for millennials is, you know, how do I take advantage of those employer-sponsored retirement plans like 401ks? Might seem like an easy question, but for someone that's getting into it, this is so important.
Yeah, it is. And because of that stage of life, you have so many big purchases coming up, whether it's getting married and having kids and buying a home, this stuff can take and like, oh, I got time. So I would, you know, try to get out of debt first. And if you can get a down payment on a house, great. I would definitely try to take advantage of the employer match, especially if you get it. So if it's a, you know, you got to put in 5 to get 4%, at least do that to get started. Then maybe when you sign up for the 401k, it's got an automatic 1% increase each year. That would be great to do because you just build in that savings. And I guarantee you, you will not miss it at all on that anniversary where it ticks up from 5% to 6%. You won't even miss it. So try to take advantage of that match. It really will kickstart your savings.
All right, let's close it out with Gen Z. Now, I'm sure there aren't many Gen Zers that are thinking about retirement right now, Ryan. These are people that were born from 96 to 2015. So obviously those on the back end of that.
My kid.
Yeah, your kids. So this is maybe the questions that you're getting from your own children right now. But got a few here. And it's never too early again to begin thinking about these things. You might be getting into the early stages of your professional and financial journey. So a lot of questions to be asked, but here are a few we want to highlight. First off, do I need to start saving for retirement now, even though it's many, many years away?
Yeah, I mean, the key word in that question is need. Do you need to? No. I remember teaching personal finance to my seniors in high school who were, you know, 17, 18 years old. And, you know, I would throw out stats on, you know, if you saved a certain amount at 18 versus 25 versus 30 versus 35. And just the numbers go up astronomical if you want to retire a millionaire. So do you need to? No. Does it make it so much easier on the back end? Absolutely. So, you know, time value of money, compounding interest, is it way easier even just to do a little bit early on? Yeah. I mean, I see some of my clients who, you know, if their high school kid has a job, they'll, you know, because they can contribute to a Roth. So some of them will match what their kid could potentially put into a Roth, or they'll just do it for them. If, you know, if they earn a couple thousand dollars, like, okay, you earn a couple thousand dollars, I'll put $2,000 into a Roth for you. So making incentives for kids, I think, is great, and it teaches them to save, and then they can see and monitor that account and what it's doing. So do you need to? No. Does make it a whole lot easier when you're in your 50s, though.
Yeah, you look back and you go, man, if I would have just started a little bit earlier, man, I'd be much better off. But it's hard to tell somebody that at that age, Ryan. I know I felt that way. I was like, I've got plenty of time. No need to worry about it. All right, question number two, Ryan, and this can go for probably millennials too, but the younger people probably hear Social Security and hear a lot of the questions that are being raised. So Is this something I can rely on, or do I have to start accounting for potential changes in the system?
I would definitely account for it. I don't think you have to rely on it, but I would account for it and then save like it's not going to be there. Again, I'm sounding a little contradictory, but and as they get older and progress because they're so young, then we start accounting for it. Maybe they start getting into their 30s, and depending on, you know, what politicians have done, what changes have been made, because there's a few bills being tossed around in Congress right now to a remedy to help Social Security be prolonged even longer and not have a reduction in 2033 or 2034, or whenever it is. So be aware of it, because you're paying into it. So that money's got to go somewhere. It's obviously a transfer payment right now. People paying into it are paying for people who paid into it before, who were receiving it. So being aware of it is fine. Counting on it, you know, maybe hold off until you get older, but be aware of it.
All right, and one last one. We know the student loan debt. You've already kind of addressed that issue that we're dealing with as a country right now, but how can you start saving when you have the student loan debt? Because many kids are coming out of college right now having this to deal with and don't have a lot of options in terms of saving.
Yeah, I mean, before, like I mentioned before, when my wife's student loan debt, I mean, the math nerd in me was rationalizing 1.87%. You got to be kidding me. I can pay the minimum and invest the rest. You got a legit argument in that case. Now, with them being so high, you don't have as a legitimate argument on that, especially when the mounds of student loan debt are so high, that higher percentage rate is going to be killing you. So I really wouldn't start saving for retirement. If you do, maybe just do a small amount so it just builds in that discipline. If you want to open a brokerage account or a Roth and put 25, 50 bucks a month, okay, that's fine. At least you've kind of starting it, and getting the account open is usually the hardest thing. But I would really focus on that student loan debt and not rely on the government to get rid of it one day, because it's pretty simple. You take out the loan, you pay for it.
Well, I love this conversation. There's a lot of stuff to think through. And I think, you know, the bottom line is whatever generation you fall into, there are going to be some challenges that you're going to have to face that maybe other generations didn't. And also, planning is the key to success long term. I mean, I think everything we've gone through today is addressed through planning, and that's why you want to get started on it. So whether you are a baby boomer, you know, weeks, months away from retirement, or Gen Z and you're just starting college or getting out of college and the whole world is ahead of you, now is still a great time to be thinking about these things and acting on them. So if you have questions, want to follow up with anything we talked about, phone number for Black Oak Asset Management is 470-508-0508, or you can schedule a Retirement Coach 360 session online with Ryan now at blackoakam.com.
It's time to open up the mailbag.
All right, let's get to a listener question. Next up from Randall, who says, I haven't decided on a specific retirement date, but hopefully it will be sometime in the next 4 years. With all the recent market volatility, should I just move my retirement savings to cash until everything blows over?
Man, Randall, we just talked about this earlier in the episode with market volatility. So should you move to cash? Everything blows over. But there's the question. What blows over?
Yeah.
Because it's always going to be something. There's always going to be some change. There's always going to be market volatility. Again, that, like we mentioned before, is we want to keep that market volatility to a minimum as you get into retirement. So Randall, am I okay if you move some to cash or at least a money market mutual fund, which, you know, some of those are paying over 5% right now of money just sitting there. If you want to carve off, you know, maybe a year's of your worth of salary or something like that, that way, if there is a pullback and you lose 20-30% of your portfolio right when you enter retirement, hey, you got this money market sitting there that's just kind of chugging along and doing its thing, and then you can let your investments heal and recover. I'm okay with that. I wouldn't move all of your retirement savings because, you know, cash is not going to keep up with inflation. So maybe a portion of it, Randall, but not too much.
All right. Thanks for that question, Randall. Again, if you have one for us, send it in. BlackOakAM.com is the website, and we'd love to maybe feature it sometime down the road on a future episode of the podcast.
It's getting to know you time.
little getting to know you question for Ryan before we get out of here today. What was your favorite grade in school? And I'll ask this from a student perspective and not as a teacher like you once were.
Yeah, right. Because teacher, I just had seniors, which I love teaching seniors. I wanted to teach the older kids. They start developing a brain in their head versus freshmen and sophomores. But I don't know, like when I saw this question, I'm like, oh, it's kind of an interesting question. And immediately I go back to like two grades, fifth grade and then my senior year. And it's not because I was almost done with school. I just had a lot of cool things happen to me my senior year. I was very fortunate. But fifth grade, I had like all my buddies in the class. I mean, you're in your last year of elementary school. And I kind of joke around with some of my buddies that I still know very well that were in that class. We had like the best looking teacher ever. And we used to kid about her all the time, and I'll keep her name anonymous in case by chance she is listening to this, but she was really good looking. Of course, when you're that age, as however old, what is that, 11, 12 years old, you're an idiot as a boy anyway, but so right. you think your teacher's hot, so it's really cool. But yeah, my senior year was great. I enjoyed my high school at Parkview. I mean, yeah, we won the state championship in baseball. So what a way to go out. Got drafted, you know, 2 days after that. So it was a memorable senior year. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know high school can be great or, you know, tough for a lot of people, but the senior year is obviously something to look forward to. But appreciate that, Ryan, and thanks for all the breakdown today of all the different generations. I know a lot of great questions and plenty more, no matter where you are, what stage of life you're in. If you have questions, again, reach out to Ryan, and I'll stick with you. We are not millennials, Ryan. We are definitely Gen X.
That's right. No doubt.
All right. Well, have a good week, and thank you for listening to the podcast. Please hit subscribe if you haven't already. We'd appreciate the support. Help us continue to grow, and we'll talk to you next time.
The Perfect Game Retirement Podcast is brought to you by Black Oak Asset Management, serving the greater Atlanta area with offices in Alpharetta and Macon. The show is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Perfect Game Retirement to find us. You can also visit blackoakam.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Ryan Ledden, and to learn more about how to pitch a perfect game in retirement.
Information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Please consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Securities and registered investment advisory services offered through Silver Oak Securities, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC. Black Oak Asset Management and Silver Oak Securities, Inc. are not affiliated.